It is no way to introduce Peter Corey. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning. How are you?
David Lee Roth, just a gigolo. 25 years,
I know,
Peter.
I know, 25 years.
How did your career actually start? Because you were choir boy 25 years ago?
Oh, gosh, I wish. No, in 1992, I was on a talent show called Go For It, which was like an RTE BBC Northern Ireland one. And I was lucky enough to win it. And really, that was it. Literally, that was just before. That was just December 92. So we're just coming up to that. And, gosh, it seems, it's just, in some ways, seems yesterday, you know. But a lot happened very quickly from that, yeah.
Go For It. I vaguely remember this. Was Jerry Ryan the presenter of it?
Yes, yeah, yeah. You know, Jerry Ryan did the follow-up, which was, it was Marty Whelan did that one.
Right, right.
Marty, a real gentleman. But Jerry Ryan did the follow-up, which was Let Me Entertain You. It was basically the same show, but they really...
That's true. Sadly, Jerry died much too young. And Marty Whelan still jumping about the TV.
Really nice man.
Great fella. You know, I was surprised he was here in the UTV building a couple of years ago. He was going down the corridor. He's doing some sort of recording for some other group or organisation. I met him in the corridor. And I thought, God, there's Marty Whelan.
Yeah.
And he was just like a bloke from around the corner. Top,
absolutely.
Top guy.
Always, yeah. Always sort of has time for you and would speak to you. And I remember about 10 years ago, I did like a... what I suppose is the RTA version of Strictly Come Dancing. I did Celebrity Jigs and Reels, and Marty was presenting it, and it was just lovely to catch up with him again and spend a bit of time with him, and he's a real gentleman.
How is your dancing?
It's not great. it's okay. I get by. It's funny because most people who are in like musicals career, they say about it being, it's more so now that they call it the triple threat. You have to do all three, but dancing was never really my strength, so... So I decided my third threat would be to produce and direct instead.
What do you enjoy the most? Surely it's out on a stage, having an audience in the palm of your hand. Or is it seeing something come to fruition where you have a more peripheral involvement?
I really enjoy both, I have to say. I love the diversity now that I have in my career, but still going out and performing, but also to have projects. And some projects which, you know, I've put together myself are thought of, and other ones you're commissioned to do, but... To sit back and be satisfied by what you do. And I work a lot with young people now, and that gives me great satisfaction as well.
How are you going to mark the 25 years? I want to go back and say, pick out some highlights, but yeah, how are you going to mark the 25th anniversary?
Really just keeping going and doing what I'm doing. We have some, maybe we'll do something in the autumn, looking at possibly a concert to celebrate that. But from now to summer is chock-a-block with stuff right through. So... it's a case of trying to fit something in the autumn time, possibly a concert.
And how important was that along the way to sort of break into that international market where you can go on a stage in America or go on a stage down under and people say, this guy's from Northern Ireland, Peter Corey?
It's always been important to me. It's always been nice for me to wherever I go to say where I come from and to feel I'm an ambassador for where I come from and trying to set a good example of, you know, of... and a good foot forward for Northern Ireland and Belfast. I'm always mention it. I never hide away from it. And I never sort of say anything other than I'm a Belfast boy and that's it, you know, and I'm proud of it.
And when you're recording, how difficult is that to choose what's best for... I will still call it a CD for a download or whatever people want to call it in this day and age.
I mean, with my last album, which was just over a year and a half ago, it really was more of a concept. I'm now at this point where I sort of, that album was very much a concept and it was a chilled album with an overall feel to it. And it's nice to get the chance to do what you want. The recording industry is going through something of a flux and people don't know really. It's not like it was 20 years ago when people had the chance to maybe, you know, earn good money from albums. That's not really the case of doing it. So I suppose what that does is it frees you up in certain ways. Once you realise that, you do what you want. And
it's what people sort of admire you for is sort of spreading the wings of which you've been spreading over the 25 years. I want you to take me on a journey through them in a moment or two. Yeah. You do that for me. Yeah. Peter Corey with us in the studio. Silver celebration going into the new year.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Here for you.
He's celebrating 25 years entertaining the world, Peter Corey, and he's with us in the studio. Talk me through the highlights, Peter.
Highlights, gosh. Okay, European Cup Champions League 1999. Actually, the way it was, because I was on stage at the Point Theatre in Dublin with Les Mis, and Man United were playing Bayern Munich, and I didn't mean to say this, but I do remember being on the barricade. And for anyone that's seen Les Mis, you know, there's a time the character I have is captured on the barricade and he's tied up. And we're sitting there, and one of the students came up to him saying, you know, because United were 1-0 down with like 3 minutes to go. And
I remember it.
And yeah, sorry about that. And somebody came up, one of the students whispered to me, United have just scored. All right, so we're sitting there in the barricade. And then a few minutes later, United have just scored. And I said, I know. He said, no, again.
Yeah, for anyone who's not into football, this was an amazing comeback by Manchester United in the Champions League final, where I'm almost sure the two scorers were Sheringham and Solskjaer.
That's right, yes,
in the
right.
Dying embers
of
the game.
Yeah, one in the last... Yeah,
that, and even as a City fan, I was sitting watching it, and I had to admire it, because I think the same year, City were struggling to get out of the third division. And the reason that I sort of had a smile on my face when it happened, some years earlier, I'd been doing a disco in the Knightsbridge in Newton Ards, and Nottingham Forest were playing Ards in a pre-season friendly. A lot of the players for Nottingham Forest that time, very good team, they had Nigel Clough, Roy Keane and Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah.
And the Nottingham Forest players came to the Knightsbridge, but they didn't really get involved in the disco. You know, they just had a quick soft drink and were leaving, except for Sheringham, who came up to the DJ booth and spent the entire night choosing the music for me.
Right?
And he said, I want you to play this. He was a lovely fella. This was, you know, when he was with Forest before he'd gone to United.
Yeah.
And all those years later, to see him get that goal, I thought, he's a nice bloke.
Yeah.
He's a really, really nice bloke. So he played till he was over 40, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
Played for West Ham eventually.
I suppose, in a roundabout way, one of the, not a highlight, but something which is memorable was, of course, the George Best funeral. But the reason I'm thinking about that is afterwards there was a reception. And I remember I was talking away to Dennis Law, and I did something which I regret. I asked him how he felt about scoring the goal for City that put United down, and he literally sort of finished the conversation and was upset. And I thought, oh, Peter, you shouldn't have asked that.
This was the wee back heel.
Yeah, the wee back heel that put United down. And
I loved him for that. I think his statue should be outside the Etihad.
So, I mean, other real highlights, I suppose, being in a show like Les Mis was a real highlight for me. It's still one of my favourite musicals, and to be involved in that in the West End and other places. But also to bring Les Mis to what was then the Odyssey Arena was fantastic. I mean, when I was finishing in London, I said to Cameron McIntosh, you know, the Odyssey hadn't been long opened. And I said, would you consider bringing Les Mis there? And while I'd been touring the UK with the show, I'd produced charity performances all around the UK, because it was good for the cast. It gave them something else to do. But also it was good to raise money for the local communities in the cities you were in. And to come and said, like, Peter, why don't you put it on? So, you know, that was quite an honour to be given permission by him to do that. So we put on a production here. And it was in 2 nights to remember, sold out for 2 nights, and at the time was the biggest production of it in the world. So really, as many of my highlights have been off the stage, as we were talking about earlier, as I've been on, and producing things which you try and bring, especially things to a Northern Ireland stage which are of a world-class quality, that's what myself and my company is all about, for doing that type of thing.
You mentioned there, just in a throwaway, when I was talking to Cameron McIntosh, you must be under a certain amount of pressure. That's a bit like me going to, say, I don't know, England and talking to the most sensational interviewer that probably ever was born, the likes of Michael Parkinson, and saying, you know, Michael, just casually, what do you think of this or that? You'd be almost, I'd be almost afraid to get his analysis or his feedback in case he didn't say what I wanted to say. So, you know, liaising with the likes of Cameron McIntosh, it's a challenge in itself,
isn't it? But I mean, there's so much to learn from the man. You know, he's really, any time he spoke to me about shows or anything like that, he had such vision, and he could just see what needed to happen. And I even know now, I mean, I would dread being a director for him, because I'm sure directors just go in and direct something, and he'll just come in and say, no, don't like that, change that. But I have to say, anything I've heard that he's changed has always been for the better. So that was a highlight. And I think really now, I love working with young people. So as I mentioned, I'm the artistic director for the largest performing arts school in Northern Ireland, BSPA. We've now over 500 students in the school. And I love being involved in that and seeing them come on, and not just as performers, but as young people, and the confidence that performance can give young people. And, of course, the camaraderie and the experiences of stepping out on stage. We have some going to Euro Disney next year to perform in Disney and things like that. It's something they'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, I also want to talk to you about the Music Box, which you're bringing back. Mm. Do that in a moment or two. You mentioned the George Best funeral, which millions watched on TV. When you are singing at such a poignant event, but in such a grand setting, do you feel under pressure?
That was the most nervous I've probably ever felt. It was, I think, Frank, because of the responsibility I felt, not just to the family, because there's a family there who are grieving a son or a father or a brother, but also to the whole of the country, because it was something that you just wanted it to be as good as it could be to pay tribute to. And from a technical point of view, this will sound weird, singing Bring Him Home at 11 o'clock in the morning isn't easy. Singing in the morning isn't easy, but sing that song in the morning. So I was up, I think I was up at 4:30 or 5 to start warming up the voice to try and get it in a position where I felt comfortable with it that day. It was an awful lot of pressure.
This warming up that people talk about, how difficult is that to do? Do you have to be alone to do that? Driving along
alone
in the car?
You'll drive other people mad, put it like that.
Yeah, but could you do it driving towards Stormont?
That day I pretty much did it though, every chance I got the opportunity. It's as much for reassurance for yourself. I have a habit of doing that. I'd be standing, waiting to go on stage, and you'd suddenly hear, going on, and people look at you and go, would you please give over? But it's just something that, and especially the older you get, the more you need to do that. The more, like any other muscle in your body, you need to take care of it. You need to make sure that it's well looked after and well warmed up before you want to use it at its best.
Yeah, because I tend to think that the sort of song that you deliver is more challenging than maybe in a pop song or a country and western song, because everyone's judging you per note.
Possibly. It is. It's just something that there's different styles of singing, and although I am lucky enough, I get the chance to tour other parts of Europe and sing like Irish music, which I sort of have been doing for the last 18 years out in Holland and Belgium. Certainly, when you're singing certain technically difficult songs, which are musical theatre songs, that there is a standard that is expected, and you have to maintain that from a technical point of view. But there's no point in it just being technical. It has to touch people. It has to connect with people.
Yeah, I should emphasize, you can do a darn good sing-along as well. Yes, that's important to emphasize. Yeah. Will there be a bit of that in the Music Box?
Yes, there will.
I'm going to talk to you about the Music Box in a moment. Peter Corey celebrating 25 years and looking at a wedding next year as well. Oh, yeah. Find out about that in a moment.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Conversation for you.
Peter Corey celebrating 25 years on stage. He's with us. The Music Box coming up very soon. And I see Auntie Pamela's involved as well.
Yes, Pamela is one of our special guests. I'm looking forward to it. We've already been talking about what she'll be doing. And Pamela's just got such a great personality, and that just comes across the stage the way it does on the radio or in television. I've wanted to ask her to do it for a few years now, and it's terrific that dates have worked out. So she's one of our special guests. Ruth McGinley, who's a terrific pianist, a really fabulous talent from the Northwest, she's on board. And a gentleman who I've performed with quite a bit in London called David Michael Johnson, who's a musical theatre singer from America. He's flying over to perform as well. He's been the likes of We Will Rock You and Jesus Christ Superstar and shows like that.
It is described, and quite rightly so, as Belfast's biggest Christmas show in terms of all the music that you have, the participation from the young people as well. People will be asking me, so tell us, when's it on? Where's it on?
It's on.
How do people get tickets?
Well, it's year 9 of the Music Box, and this is its fifth year at the Belfast Waterfront, or the Waterfront Hall. Just get in touch with there, and it's on from the 14th. There's four shows between the 14th and the 16th of December. And it is, Frank, it's something that I, 10 years ago, I was home for Christmas, and I was driving around, and there's always obviously pantos, and pantos are great for Christmas, but I just felt there was something missing, something else that a family can go and enjoy and get in the Christmas mood together and sit and enjoy together. And I just thought a Christmas variety music show of high standard is what was needed, and thankfully Belfast thought the same. So it's continued and gone from strength to strength, which is terrific.
Yeah, it sort of signs off Christmas, doesn't it? Says, right, Christmas is now officially underway.
I think that's the thing that, that we always go out. I always insist on whoever's the guest that year come out with myself and sit down and sign programmes and talk to the audience. And the most thing they said to me is always, now it feels like Christmas after somebody's been to the show. And that's really what you want. You want people to forget about the shopping, forget about everything else, and sit back and enjoy the vibe, you know.
But how do you do everything that you're talking about, all the plans you have going into the new year, and prepare for, is it next June, next June special?
Next June's another production. I mean, we have another production. Fleur, my fiancée, and myself, we're getting married out in Italy, so which is lovely. So just small wedding, just friends and family, and really because we work together. I mean, Fleur works on the Music Box with me. We've just done a very big sort of convention that came to Northern Ireland, the World Dairy Convention. We did the shows for that and put those on. And we get to work together on certain projects, and then she'll fly off and do something else on her own, and then I'll go away and do so. So we have that lovely balance of sometimes working 24/7 and sometimes not seeing each other for a couple of weeks. And that suits us well. But I think really with the wedding, it's just a case of making sure we enjoy it. There's so many times in a wedding that you're so busy worrying about the logistics and everything else that I just wanted to make sure that this was something that we can have fun. And so we're taking a very small hotel, very small sort of farmhouse hotel, and we're taking it over for 3 days and inviting friends and family out for 3 days.
Yeah, family's important. Your grown-up son's going to be your best man.
Yeah, I have two sons. They're both my best men. One of them, he's at university in Durham. The other one's studying at Tech here. And my daughter, Molly, she's over in Leeds University, and she's going to be one of our bridesmaids. So that is so important to me, you know, it really is.
Peter, it's lovely having you in. Congratulations on 25 years. You're an amazing ambassador for Northern Ireland. And the Music Box, Thursday 14th to Saturday the 16th of December at the Waterfront, four shows there. And Pamela will be on stage, not only comparing, but high-kicking. I have to get a ticket for that to see that. Great seeing you, Peter.
Good to see you.
And congratulations.
Thank
May the next
much.
25 years
Thank
be every
much,
bit
Frank.
As good. With us in the studio, Peter Corrie. Good morning to you. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in.